Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the one who created us and gives us everything necessary for life, God the Son, whose resurrection we still rejoice in, was guaranteed victory for you and for me, and God the Holy Spirit, who today we remember is the one who showers his gifts upon us. As I mentioned at the beginning of our service, there's a number of things that are going on today. It is, of course, Pentecost, one of the three big festivals of the Christian church, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. Marveling at how Jesus kept the promise that John alluded to in the gospel for this morning, that once he had completed everything that was necessary and all was done and he had ascended back to the glories of heaven, he would send his Spirit. It's Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow we have the opportunity to remember those who've gone before us, particularly those that have allowed us to enjoy the freedoms that we have. And of course, this afternoon in West Salem at a Luther High School, there's graduation. And so we pray for these graduates from our congregation, and we are thankful for the various gifts that God has given to you and look forward to seeing how God's going to let you use those gifts. I'm kind of wondering how well those three things fit together. They are somewhat different. But if any lesson is going to do it, I think it's the second lesson that we had before us this morning as we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there you hear the word that we've already used a couple of different times now. Gifts. We hear it talked about any number of times. And it reminds us, no matter which of these various things you and I happen to be thinking about this morning, we're in this together. Different gifts, but same Lord, same purpose. We're in this together. Keep that in mind as you think about the different gifts that God gives to us. Throughout the pages of Scripture, our Lord and our God does offer various listings of gifts, of talents, of things that he allows us to do. So this isn't an exhaustive list. But in verses 8 to 10, as he lists a number of them, he's got some kind of three broad categories, I suppose, if you will. One category revolves around the idea of wisdom. The other one that you and I might call miracles. The other one revolving around the word. So he says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, to one person a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else, and to another the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given powers to do miracles, another the gift of prophecy, another the evaluating of spirits, someone else different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. Interesting list. All kinds of different gifts. The first word that he uses for wisdom is the idea of not just simply having some knowledge, but knowing what to do with it. So wisdom is the idea of you take this knowledge and you put it to use. You know what you're going to do with what you have learned. The message of knowledge, again, isn't just the fact that you happen to know something, but there he's talking about what have you learned from experience. You've gone through something. You've worked through an issue. You've been through a trying time. There is some experience that has helped you learn, gain some knowledge. And then he talks about the gift of faith. And it would seem pretty clear that he can't be just talking about the fact that you know who Jesus is. Because then it would seem that some get the gift of faith, some know who Jesus is, others get to be smart, others get to know what to do with it, but have no faith. That's clearly not what he's talking about. So this appears to be that kind of faith that is given for that added trust, that extra strength as life throws its curves at you, as problems and difficulties come along. You've got that faith that allows you to lean on Jesus, grab on to Jesus, rejoice in the fact that he's the one who's holding you up. That trust, that reliance, especially when things are tough. Others get probably some of those more flashy gifts, especially early on in the New Testament, what you and I might call the miracles. He talks about the gifts of healing, working of power. You think about how Peter and John told the man to stand up who hadn't been able to walk. You think about the Apostle Paul shaking the snake off his arm and nothing ever happened, never got sick, even though it was poisonous. Some of those kind of amazing type things that took place. Others get gifts that seem to revolve around the idea of the word. The gift of prophecy. Being able to tell God's people what God wants them to know. The ability to distinguish among the various spirits that are out there. John talked about testing the spirits. You take what God says in His Word and you compare it to other things that you're hearing. Discernment, understanding. God has given some the ability to set those things side by side and pick out those differences and understand what might be in line with the Word and might not be. The gift of tongues. The ability to speak either in different languages or in ecstatic speech, which seems to be the gift that the Corinthians wanted. Seemed like they were clamoring for that one, so Paul's going to spend some more time talking about it in chapter 14. For now, he simply acknowledges that it's there, along with some being able to say, now this is what those tongues mean. Being able to interpret what's not readily understood. Some of those gifts are amazing. And we might be tempted to look around and see if some of those gifts are still given. Remember, it's a gift. You don't have to give gifts. You want to give gifts. And some of those gifts seem to be limited to that early New Testament time, though God simply could, if He wanted to, provide some of those amazing gifts. Maybe for our purposes, rejoice in the fact that while they may not seem as amazing, don't forget that they still are. Oh, sure, maybe somebody didn't wave his hand over you and suddenly the disease went away, but you've heard of stories where somebody can't necessarily explain why the tumor is now gone, but it is. Somebody had to figure out that if I've got a headache, I take that little pill and it goes into my stomach and yet my head feels better. Somebody had to figure that out. I think that's kind of amazing. Don't know if we'd call it a miracle, but it is amazing. It is a gift that God has given. The opportunity to proclaim God's holy word, to take His word, take it out into the world, proclaim it to people, help them understand it, help them know what it says, take them to Jesus. That's amazing, even if it does seem ordinary and routine. No matter what the gift is, Spirit that gives it. We may be in the process of using that gift. We may be in the process of trying to figure out what that particular gift that's been given to me is. Rejoice in the fact that God is the one who supplies them all according to His grace and His will. We're in this together. Even though we have different gifts, even though we get to do different things in different places at different times, we're in this together. And don't let the different gifts become Satan's tool to try to pull you apart again. He would love to take those different gifts and say, you are not in this together. And tries to get you to become envious of what somebody else is able to do or prideful in what you're able to do. He may use those different gifts and try to get us to be suspicious at what somebody else is doing. Why did they do that? Why did they say it that way? Try to get us to distrust each other and tear us apart instead of rejoicing in the fact that we're in this together. We are not a bunch of different people that we need to see as enemies or as threats. But God has given all those different gifts precisely because we're in this together. Later on, He uses the picture of the body. You've got one body, has different parts, that does different things. Some are more noticeable than others. But they all need to be there if the body is going to function. We're in this together, even with the different gifts. So I think that's why Paul then pulls it all together. Yes, different gifts, one Lord. There are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. Even though you've got those different abilities and those different gifts, there is that one same Holy Spirit who takes us to that one same gospel recorded in word and in baptism and in the supper. And that one Spirit gives you those gifts. There are different opportunities for service, but it is the one Lord Jesus Christ who sets you free so that you can serve. It is the one Lord Jesus Christ who covers all the selfishness and all the animosity and all the hatred and all the distrust and everything else that taints what you and I do. Covers it with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering and death, and sets us free to do whatever service He gives us to do. Different things we can put our energies into, but that one God and Father who created you with everything that you need to do what He wants you to do, one Lord. We're in this together, backed and empowered by that one Lord. And that's what gives us the one purpose. You and I are here to be connected to our Lord and to our Savior. Right at the beginning of the lesson, He says, "Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says, 'A curse be upon Jesus,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." One purpose: to be connected to our Lord and to our God. No one who has faith is going to curse Jesus. And no one who doesn't have faith is going to confess Jesus. So don't forget the greatest gift that comes from that one Lord. That greatest gift is you belong to Him. The greatest gift is that even though you and I, because of our sin, born in sin, enemies of God, dead in our trespasses, and prove it day in and day out by what we do, are called by God so that we confess Him as our Lord and our Savior, to know that Jesus is the one who rescued me, rescued you, to know that He is the one who watches over you, guides you, protects you, takes care of you, not just for today, but right into eternity in the glories of heaven. Your greatest gift is that amazing faith He gives to you that grabs on to your Lord Jesus, so you can confess Him. That's the main purpose. Stay connected to Him. Be in His Word. Hear what He says. And when you're connected to Him, that helps with the other purpose, and that is now we're in this together. We're connected to each other. As He began that list of gifts, He reminded us that this is all for the common good. The gift that I've been given is not necessarily so I can say, "Hey, everybody, look at me." The gift is to serve you. This is for the common good. How can we build each other up? How can we help each other? How can we support each other? That's why at the end, one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as He desires. Each individual here has an amazing gift that God wants you to have. Each of us here has a gift that God empowers us to use. Each of us here has something that we can do. He's put us in life. He's getting us ready. And we're all in it together. We do this to help each other out. So, Pentecost, I suppose that helps us understand as God pours out that amazing gift of the Holy Spirit, reminding us that we are all in this together. He is the one who brings us together in this family of believers. He is the one who has given us this faith and marches us out into the world to be His witnesses. Memorial Day. As we think about that we're in this together, we remember those who came before us. Remember those who used their gifts to make sure that I was connected to Jesus and how I could use my gift to help others. We're reminded that even within our own nation, how there are times that we've been in this together, and we're thankful for those who make it possible for for us to enjoy the freedoms that we have. And for you who are about to graduate, hopefully you've had a couple of years now to begin to think about these amazing gifts God has given to you. You've been growing in them. Perhaps you've had teachers and family members who have said, "Have you thought about this gift? Did you notice that you had it? Did you notice this is something you can do? Have you seen what Jesus has accomplished for you?" And to many of us here, it might not seem like it was all that long ago that you were sitting here in confirmation, rejoicing in God's amazing gift of faith, and since then have continued to remain in His Word and continued to grow in that faith. And now you take that next step. And you think about how, as we continue to grow and learn about these amazing gifts, that we're still in this together. You may be going here, you might be going there, but you still have your family and your friends, and you still have your congregation of believers. We're in this together, staying together, worshiping together. God's blessings as you take those gifts. As we all leave, go back out those doors, aware of the work that we need to do, the privilege that we have, the places that we go, take those different gifts, focus in on that one Lord, rejoice in that common purpose, and remember, you're not by yourself. You don't have to do this all alone. We're in this together. Amen.